is Maddie Rempe from Cleveland, Ohio, and you're listening to Barbecue Central.
Happy to have you aboard here for the Really Big Barbecue Show.
Boing. We cook because we have to, and we grill because we want to.
Hit me. Fine, how's it going?
You have a great show. I'm a big fan.
Boing.
So what seems to be the problem here? This man looks like he's dead, and he's in the crackle.
Charbono! It's all about the Charbono, dude!
Succulent fish! What?
We ate 2 feet before we nursed.
Well, listen, Lavernius, shut your face.
I'm shaking like a dog shit peach seed.
We have top men working on it right now. Top men.
Hold on. You gotta be kidding me. The Cavaliers just beat the Knicks and snapped their 11-game win streak. You gotta be kidding.
Boing.
22-point comeback, no less. And on Jason and Travis Kelce night in Cleveland, and the brothers were there for their bobblehead night. How many times do you get double bobblehead? Rarely. Wow, that's great. I can't believe I missed it. Here I am doing this show. This is the greatest comeback in Cavs history in recent memory. That's all right. Nevertheless, welcome to the Barbecue Central Show. It's the second hour, and we talk about only the most high-level barbecue and grilling items that you can possibly talk about. Still to come on the show this evening, and Sam the Cooking Guy will be joining us here in a little bit. And while the newsletter said Andrew Zimmern was also joining us, that's not going to happen because he did not have a USB microphone, but we'll be talking about that later. We say good evening to those of you watching the show tonight through one of our video streaming platforms. You can go to facebook.com/BBQCentralShow to watch. You can go to twitter.com/BBQCentralShow to watch. You can also go to youtube.com/@BBQCentralShow. And we have a YouTube poll question of the week, and we're asking everybody this. Not too many changes here this evening. Do you know who Caitlin Clark is? 62% of you are still saying yes, you do. 38% of you are still saying no, you don't. And we'll see how that goes the rest of the way. I'm very excited to see if Sam the Cooking Guy knows who Caitlin Clark is. I'm 50-50 on that. I don't know if he is in that realm or not, but we're going to see here in just a little bit. Coming up on the best moments of the Barbecue Central Show in 10 minutes or less this coming Friday, episode 324, taking you back to March 25th of 2008. So again, just as the show is really getting its feet, not even really, little over a month old, 325.08. Well, that's not true. A little over a month doing the show live, I should say. Featuring someone many of you nowadays have never heard of. But back in the old barbecue forum days of barbecue and grilling, this guy was prolific on all the best and worst barbecue forums available on the internet. His name is Chris Finney. Or in many cases, he just went by Finney. I've known Chris for 20 years. Can I really? Damn. I'm saying 20 years. In fact, when I trace back to my beginnings of barbecue, not the show, just getting into the cooking portion of barbecue, Chris Finney is one of the core group of guys I still know to this day. You know who else is in that group, believe it or not? Take a guess. Go ahead. That's right. DivaQ. Finney DivaQ. Finney DivaQ. Same people. Been around me that long, if you can believe it. A lot of folks don't realize that Diva and I pretty much got into barbecue and grilling same time. Not even pretty much, the same time. So, it would stand to reason that if I've known Chris Finney as long as I've known Danielle, that I've known Chris Finney just as long. So, he is in that core group that I still know to this day. Not as actively communicative, but I still know. Anyway, one of the most popular ways to cook a steak or a big roast for that matter, especially thick ones, is called the reverse sear method, right? Chris Finney lays claim to inventing this way of cooking steaks back in early 2008. He gives his background in cooking, talks about the books that he's read on cooking, and then tells you how he came up with the method, the Finney method. John actually asks everyone at the end of the show, do you think this guy is the one that invented the reverse sear? I'll ask you differently. When you hear the show this coming Friday, is there any reason, after you listen to it, is there any reason we shouldn't believe that Chris Finney is the rightful inventor of the reverse sear method, aka, as I said a second ago, the Finney method? I mean, come on. He does a really good job at selling it. He gives all the facts. He's not like, hey, I did it. He's just saying, this is how I'm cooking, and nobody else was doing it this way in 2008. So I'll be interested in your reaction if you think Finney created the Finney method. I mean, there, if you search the archives of barbecue forums and type in Finney method, it comes back in returns. This isn't me making up a bit. This is searchable. I wouldn't say easily searchable, but I think if you went into Google and put, I don't know, Chris Finney, Finney method cooking steak, you're going to get returns back from really old barbecue forums. Probably a lot of them aren't even around anymore. So I'll be interested in your take on that after you take it in on Friday. Don't forget you can subscribe to the show by visiting thebbqcentralshow.com/subscribe. And if you want to hear a guest or segment that's been lost in the archives, email John and let him know you would like to hear. That's JON@thebbqcentralshow.com. Quick update on the raw chicken eating guy on Instagram. He's at day 47. Is that right? Stand by. I have it right here. Reload the page. Cut. I'm not going to play it, so don't worry about it. Yes, he is at day 47 of eating raw chicken until he gets a tummy ache. By the way, he's at day 47, which means he has 53 days to go to get to 100. And I'm here to tell you, I'm done reporting on this guy for good. That's it.
Get that free stuff out of here.
I'm in it. I followed you for 47 days because I want to see you get sick. But you won't get sick, will you? No, you won't. You're going to hold out. You're going to show everybody that you can do it. We all know your trick, pal. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get to it tonight, but our friend and executive producer of the Howard Stern Show, Jason Kaplan, went to Burger America last week. I mean, imagine my excitement. This is how crazy it is. I get a text message from Jason. It's just a picture. There's Hamburger America, and then guess where I am? And I became so excited, so giddy. With anticipation, immediately thumbing back, oh my God, I wish I was there. I need full report, blah, blah, blah. He replied back to, I need to know what you think immediately after you're done. And he replied back a little while later and said, best burger ever, best fries ever, report coming in. And then 10 hours ago, he sent me an incredible review of Hamburger America that I'm going to run out of time on, unless I ditch Sam early and we can get into it then. But I will give it to you top of the second hour next week for sure, because if you have plans to be in New York City for any reason, and Hamburger America, which I think is in the West Village, whatever it is, Soho, I don't know, whatever the sub-boroughs of the boroughs are, sub-neighborhoods, that's what they're called, neighborhoods. But he's given an in-depth review. So if you're on the way there and Hamburger America is on the agenda, if you got a couple weeks before you get there, I'll give you the Jason Kaplan review of Hamburger America, and it is lengthy and in-depth, and you're going to want to hear every word. Believe you me. So I thank Jason in advance for taking the time to write such an educated and insightful review. We'll get to it next week. Sam the Cooking Guy is ready. We'll get to him here in just 1 second. Before we do that, we'll talk to you about Primo Grills. As Malcolm Reed mentioned in the first part of that first interview segment before I cut him loose, Primo has a XXL out now. I have the XL. This would be bigger. I saw a version of it last year at the HPB Expo in Louisville, Kentucky when I was down there in person. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, like I told Malcolm, if they're not letting you see it until tomorrow, there's probably been some aesthetic changes made, maybe some engineering changes made, maybe some ceramic changes made between the one that I saw last year and what you're going to be seeing this year, and roughly a year removed from each other. As we talked about, the reason you're going to love a Primo ceramic grill, not because it's just great and awesome, of course, but it's an oval shape. So you're getting out of the round like all the rest of them are. And within the oval shape gives you the ability to execute a two-zone fire that you really want. The two-zone cooking is very important to both professional and backyard cooks alike. Best way to manage a fire and cook with confidence. You have the game-changing oval design with the Primo. You can cook 60 different ways on the Primo, only sold through dealers. So you have to find a dealer near you. Go to primogrill.com. You find that dealer. Then you visit the dealer in person. You touch and feel all the ovals. And then you take the one that best fits your need home with you. And then you continue to keep falling in love with it after that. All the accessories that you want, the Primo Grill pizza accessory, the Primo Grill rotisserie accessory, many, many more. And don't forget, deflector plate holders, full deflection, partial deflection. You have middle and the charcoal grate too, so you can bank the coals on one side, nothing on the other. You got to get it. Who wants a Primo? Everybody wants a Primo. PrimoGrill.com. Follow them on social media. We're back with Sam the Cooking Guy right after this. Stick around. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. Howard Stern, Jim Rome, Dan Patrick, and Greg Rampey. The Mountain Rushmore of talk show entertainment. Now, let's get back to the Barbecue Central Show.
This portion of the show being brought to you by Pit Barrel Cooker. The most unbelievable outdoor cooking device on the planet, available in 3 sizes. Whether you're a beginner or professional, it's a cooker you want to add to the arsenal. By the way, I was on the phone with Noah Glanville a couple days ago. And if you're a fan of the Badger Barrel line, there's new things going on with that I'm probably not allowed to talk about, so I won't. But just know that if you weren't satisfied with some of the aesthetics on the exterior, that may or may not be changing. I don't know that. Allegedly, reportedly, go to pitbarrelcooker.com anyway and buy your first upright barrel smoker. It's that time of the month, folks, where we welcome in our favorite YouTube cooking personality, cookbook author, TV host, a Barbecue Central Show's guest Hall of Famer, and the list literally goes on. It's our pal Sam the Cooking Guy. Sam, we have a YouTube poll question of the week that we're asking everybody here this evening. Wait, I can't hear you. Are you on mute? Yes? No, I can't hear you. Uh-oh. Oh, dear. Just, if this is any indication, no. If this is any indication on where our second hour is going, folks, I have bad news. Really bad news. Remember, our good pal, Andrew Zimmern, who had already rebooked once, rebooked again, and at the 8 o'clock sound check was not around anymore, I can tell you that. All right, let's hear it.
No?
Yes, now okay. We are okay. Very good.
Phew, I don't know what happened. You know, right. Listen, at least I'm here.
I know.
I'm not MIA like you know who. I don't mean MIA, I mean booted.
We have a YouTube poll question of the week. We're asking everybody this, including all guests. Ready? I know you love these. You know who Caitlin Clark is. Yes or no?
Nope.
I said, of all my guests, I'm 50% if Sam is even going to know who Caitlin Clark is.
You should have said 100%. Who's Caitlin Clark?
Well, I mean, I don't know where you're at.
You can't say it now.
I don't know if like where your temperature on current events is. I mean, she's all over the news the last couple months.
All right, she's that basketball player?
That's right. I know who Caitlin Clark is.
I do know her. You know, it's funny. I saw her today, and they were profiling her something. I said to. Sort of, who? What's her last name? I can't remember hearing her last name. Now I know it. Now I know Caitlin Clark. Yes, you know I'm always jealous when you do your questions with the embedded correspondents.
Why?
I want to be there answering.
You do?
I'd only be able to respond to about 40% because you do some deep barbecue shit. You know?
I don't believe that. I think you can have an opinion.
No, you do. Yeah,
you have an opinion.
Should Rusty McFucknuts be in the KCBS Hall of Fame? There are no.
Don't you know? Do you know who?
He's done some good work back in the day. He taught everybody.
Nobody on my panel talks like that.
Well, come on. Maybe.
That's a generalization of barbecue.
It's an amalgamation of all of the voices. Yeah.
Do you not know who Mike Mills is?
No.
Let's have a new YouTube poll question of the week for Sam.
Go ahead. Try one that I might get.
All right. You know who Mike Mills is, yes or no?
No. Huh. Ask me if I know the name of my
Hold
new
on.
Cookbook.
Let's try this.
Yeah.
YouTube poll question of the week. We're asking only Sam, the cooking guy, this. You know who Chris Lilly is, yes or no?
I do know who Chris Lilly is.
All right, so. We'll end it there. 100% of okay. Sam, the cooking guy, knows who Chris Lilly is. And we'll take the vast majority. That's right. I mean, if you want to, would you want to sit in? Because then you would have to back it up the next week.
Yes, of course I would. I'm jealous I've never been asked.
It's
one of
God.
My favorite segments.
I would never want to impose.
But once again, I only know, it's like Jeopardy. Well, I'd probably do better at
the embedded correspondence.
At yours than Jeopardy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know anything about Jeopardy.
I would never want to impose.
In 1742, this painter also wrote a poem, I don't know any of that stuff.
Well, good news.
But,
we don't have any of that.
Sparky McFucknuts, I won't know him either. So.
All right. Well, then.
Might be fun, but I won't know anything.
Yes, but here's the difference. It's not wrong, right? It's just your opinion. On the game show in 1742, that poet who also wrote a song. Like, there's a right or wrong answer to that.
I know.
So, at least on the embedded correspondence, you can shine a little bit. It doesn't matter.
It may be an opinion, but I don't want to give an opinion about Rusty McFucknuts, and I don't know him at all.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Then you can refuse if you want.
Let me say this. I voted today for my very first time.
Yeah?
I haven't been an American very long. And this conversation takes me back to my citizenship test. And I don't remember the question. I think they ask you 20 questions. You have to get, if you get like the first 8 right, or if you got 10, I can't, then you're good, right? She asked the first question. I'm really sorry. I can't remember what it was. She goes like this, blah, 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 blah. And I go, oh, this, I answer. She goes, no. She asks it again. I answer with a different answer. She goes, no. Then she goes, a little bit like you just did. She goes, you know, I've always thought they should word the question like this. And then I got it.
Really?
Anyway, I voted today. I lost my sticker somewhere, but I had the sticker on. I voted today. And the place I went to, they have this like drive up, pull up, don't have to even really get out of your car voting. The guy, do you just want to do this? I'm like, no, I want the full experience.
Yeah.
I want to go in. I want to fill out what I have to fill out. I want to go to the little room. I want to pull the curtain behind me. Guess what? No curtains anymore.
Yeah.
That probably went away in what, 1972?
Long time ago.
And so it was all electronic.
Did you get your ballot and you put it in the machine and then you do the touch screen and then it pukes it back out and you put it in the counter separate?
Correct.
Yeah.
You put it in a little folder and you take it to a guy.
Did you feel...
And the guy takes it.
Did you feel very more American?
No. I didn't feel very more American. I felt... I was glad I did. Damn it. But that didn't make me... That didn't make me feel any more American than the day I took the oath. Whatever I said.
But now you've done a real American thing.
I have. Well, I've done a real American thing before.
Don't you know the rule now, right?
Got a mortgage and... The rule?
Yeah. Once you vote in your first American voting election, you can't go back to Canada anymore. That's it.
You're not, I can.
Did they not tell you that?
No, they didn't tell me that.
Oh, well, that's but a secret.
The day I became an American, you go for the ceremony, and you walk in, and the first thing they say, they don't even say hello. You go, green card. You hand over your green card. Not your passport. I get to have two. I have two passports. Two passports.
One from Canada and one from the Americas. Mm-hmm.
One from the old country and one from here. Yeah.
And both of them are
pretty good.
Valid.
And blue. Yes.
Huh. Interesting.
Yes. Valid.
Why don't you just get rid of the Canadian one? You're American.
It's sentimental.
Yeah, but would you use it?
The Canadian passport?
Wait.
I won't.
Wait, let's see how American you are. If put in a pinch, would you use the Canadian passport or would you not take the trip?
Where am I? Am I on a plane and terrorists get on speaking a language nobody gets and they go, where are the Americans? No, I'm not pulling out my American passport. I'm pulling out my... Oh, Canada.
No. I'm just saying you can only use the, if you were asked for the passport, you also don't have the American one.
Okay. Here's the deal. When I travel now, I only travel with my American passport.
All right. Now we're talking. Now you're getting to be real American. Thank God.
You happy?
We got to convert you here.
I got to buy a gun. No, that's a real American.
Not in California, you're not going to buy a gun. Sorry, you're not allowed.
No, they don't even sell guns here, I don't think.
They don't sell guns, and they're hardly making fuel-burning engines anymore. Like, can you even have a fire outside?
I don't know. I fear they're going to take away my smoker.
I fear that, too. I know they've talked to barbecue restaurants around that state saying you're going to have to put all these smoke scrubbers on top of your chimney stacks to make sure the smoke's taken out of it. Isn't California the place where somebody got a ticket because the next door neighbor was cooking on a barbecue and the smoke got into the yard and then the guy cooking got the ticket? I think that's true.
Ridiculous.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
Hey, the new book, Sam the Cooking Guy, The Holy Grill is set to release in a week from tonight, if you can believe, or tomorrow, a week from, during the day, it will release, perhaps first thing in the morning. Any visibility on pre-sale numbers?
You asked me this.
I didn't ask on the show.
I don't
know.
I don't ask these questions.
I asked you like 3 days ago. You didn't ask.
We asked in private. By the way, everybody, here's the deal. Greg and I talk. How often do we talk?
8 times a day.
No.
A couple times a week.
Couple times a week for sure. And text.
Yeah. phone.
Probably more. Can I read them what you wrote on the back of the book?
Will you?
Are you okay if I do that?
Hold on.
I would like to.
All right. This is my blurb. My blurb.
There's two blurbs in the back of the book. One is from your host of the Barbecue Central Show, who writes, in true STCG fashion, Sam delivers a book filled with incredibly delicious, creative, and easy-to-follow recipes supplemented with mouth-watering photographs. It will help raise your backyard barbecue and grilling game to new heights. Greg Rempe, host of the Barbecue Central Show.
Hey.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
I know I've thanked you a few times, and really it means a lot that you agreed and that you wrote and that you were so prompt, and thank you.
You've written a number of books.
This would be number six.
What's a good number of copies to sell these days? What makes a good book copy?
Everything.
Is 10,
50 to 75,000.
Is 10,000 low? Would that not be a good number? Does it depend?
I think 10,000 would be. I think if you sold 10,000 copies and you self-published, you'd be over the moon.
Self-published.
People self-publish books all the time.
Tools self-publish.
I think if you sold 10,000 copies and you were published by a proper publisher, I don't know that they'd be asking for another book. Hmm. Perhaps a small one, I don't know, but I don't think so.
Would you plan to write books for as long as you're working?
I said a couple months ago, I think this is it.
The Holy Grail one?
And I'm having and yet my publisher and my literary agent have scheduled a call for the 22nd to talk about another book. Huh.
Could you write?
Which is great, considering it hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah.
I'm honored that they would have that conversation. I'm honored that, I don't know, Amazon is like a stock market in the books. But if you go right now, this morning I was number one in barbecuing and grilling, and it hadn't come out yet. So that's exciting.
Wow.
Again. Yeah. And editor's pick and number one in barbecuing and grilling.
Is it the same publisher that's doing all these books?
It's the same publisher that did Intentional Leftovers and Between the Buns. The last three books have been this.
Why aren't they like signing you to a multi-book deal?
Well, I don't know. Maybe like with actors, you're only as good as your last movie.
Yeah, but I've seen many people that write books get a multiple book deal.
I'm not a big enough deal, bro.
Yeah, but
thanks for making me say that out loud.
Six books. You're obviously a big deal.
Six books. Yeah. Well, I think you want to take it a book at a time. I don't know. My editor thinks this is my best book.
Why?
And she did the last two. She likes it. I think what she likes the fact that, as she said one day,
are we using the term editor in quotation marks?
No, we're not. Actual editor. Actual. Her name's Anne.
Does Anne
said, you know, is Anne what? Don't say, I don't know.
Never mind.
I think I want you to say what you're going to say.
Value though.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I'm glad you didn't. Self-control, baby. I love that.
Yeah.
What she likes about this book and what I like about it is that there's kind of something for everybody. What there isn't in this book is something for the KCBS people. You read that part, maybe. I don't know. I go, look, if you're a KCBS champion, you know, thank you. Just bought two copies. I appreciate that. Hell.
Dave's got beer.
If you're a KCBS, you know, performer, you want to go and you win those. This book's not for you. You know this stuff. But if you're that person that's looked into the backyard going, fuck, I'm sure I could do some good shit back there if only I knew how. This book is for you.
Is there is there a tuna recipe?
There is.
Is there a salmon recipe? Yeah,
yes.
I'm excited.
Ask if there's tofu.
Is there tofu?
One.
Yeah.
One tofu. I love tofu.
Give us a wet our whistle with a tofu recipe.
Bang bang tofu.
Really?
You take a block of tofu.
Yeah.
You cut it horizontally and you press it so you get most of the moisture out. Then you cut it in like one by one rectangles.
Yeah,
long ones. You skewer it, a little oil on the grill it goes. Once it starts getting charred up nicely, which is pretty much the case for anything that you're going to put something sweet on, you got to wait till it gets charred up. Then you start brushing on the sauce. Little green onion, maybe a little sesame seed when it comes out. Oh, God. I love tofu.
I don't know if I've had tofu plain. Is it a non-taste
It's
profile?
Definitely a blank canvas. You definitely need something with it.
Yeah.
Like some light soy, that kind of thing. Mm. The very first time I had tofu was when I went with Melinda Allen for the first time I had sushi. And we had something called agadashi tofu. Mm. And they take blocks of tofu about this big, square. They dredge them in potato starch, which is super fine and super light. And then they deep fry them.
Oh.
And they get golden brown and they put them in a broth, like a soy-ish kind of, you know, there's other shit in there, with a lot of grated, what the hell's that shit called? White root.
Horseradish.
No, not horseradish. Looks like it, but it's not that.
Ginger?
No, not ginger. I can't remember. I've got to look it
up. Fennel?
I'm going to look it up. No, fennel. Fennel's green and white. This is all white. But this is the first time I had tofu, and I was like, damn it. I'm in love with this shit. Huh. I do like it soft. I do like it uncooked, but I really like it grilled. Mm.
What's better, grilled tofu or grilled halloumi?
Oh boy, it's tough.
It is
completely different. By the way, this conversation is helping to lose a lot of your audience.
Is it? We're talking about barbecue and grilling.
No, I know, but there's things that, you know, there's some guy out there going, what is this guy talking about? I don't eat none of that shitty California.
Why do you think all my listeners talk like that?
Don't they? They
no,
don't talk
most
like
of my most of my audience is from California.
Come on.
That's really? According to the downloads. It's California, then Texas, then Ohio, and then New York State.
Here, can we just concentrate on that beautiful picture?
Ooh, look at that. Tomahawk. Right. No, cowboy.
And as we all know, and as I say in the book,
yes,
you're paying for the bone.
Is it yucca root?
No,
shit. No, damn.
Look it up. Hold on. Agadashi tofu. Hold on.
I've been told a number of times.
Agadashi tofu recipe.
I've been told a number of times that the bone isn't that big of a deal. To get over it, you're not paying.
Oh, wait a sec. This reminds me of something. You've professed.
Yes.
Cooking on the bone is meaningless. It doesn't do anything for flavor.
Right.
Correct? You've said that how many times?
100%.
5,000, 2,000?
2 billion.
Guess who I just listened to on a podcast the other day.
I can't wait. You tell me.
It's one of your boys. Malcolm Reed.
Okay, guess what? Malcolm's wrong.
You got so upset. You got so upset.
Malcolm's wrong.
You miscalced on your stuff.
So number one, I think... What's the commercial for that beer?
Modelo?
Yeah. Damn it. There's a catchphrase at the end. Who cares? Malcolm in this instance is wrong. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he walked it back a little bit. I don't think he said...
Oh, did he now?
I don't think he said that it added any flavor. I think he said that the meat closer to the bone ends up not getting cooked as much. So it's more tender. I don't think he.
No, he said he liked to cook them though. No. You're completely wrong. Malcolm's right, and you got to bow down to Malcolm Reed because he's a god.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's no such thing as gods. Secondly, you're allowed to be wrong, right? He's allowed to be wrong.
You?
I'm not wrong.
He wasn't. He was right.
Scientifically proven, the bone does nothing. The bone is bone.
I'm not.
It's calcium. What comes out of a bone?
Oh my!
What's coming out of a bone? What flavor is coming out of a bone?
Comes out of the bone. You don't understand how something cooked beside a bone could benefit from the way the bone heats. That kind of thing. But this is not what I'm talking about. My mentioning of the bone was to say, as I say in the book, like yes. in that recipe with the tomahawk, understand it's a party trick.
Obviously, it's only you're aesthetic.
Per pound, you're paying for bone. But sometimes you want to be able to go, look at this, bitch.
Yeah.
And hold something up. You want to impress your friends. You need only look at the number of tomahawk steaks that are sold in restaurants to understand that it's sometimes people want that. And by the way, it's daikon radish that goes on.
Oh, damn it. I was just going to, you won't believe this. I was just going to flash this. I have proof is what I'm about to show you here.
Go ahead. Sorry, I meant daikon.
Connie Rempe.
You have proof or Connie Rempe has
Connie Rempe, daikon. There you go.
Yeah. You don't say I have proof.
I was going to say I have proof that somebody in the chat said daikon.
Connie Rempe.
Yes, not me. I don't know. I gave all my guesses.
You said I have proof.
That somebody in the chat said daikon. That's all.
You know, funny when we argue, people...
they like that better than when we get along?
we do get along. I'm starting to smell my dinner.
Oh?
I have a rice cooker going with rice, some beef, some vegetables, and some curry that is just making my house smell amazing right now.
Oh, you like curry?
Do you ever buy those golden curry packets?
Look up
golden curry.
I'm not a big curry guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You really? Like things from America.
No. Don't do that.
Do not eat none of that foreigner food.
Here we go.
Unless it comes from suspicious Mexican restaurants that are not really Mexican.
Yes, right. Let's make sure we offend me and the non-real Mexicans who happen to be from Mexico. Let's do that. Can I put you on hold just for 1 second, and then we can come back and we can talk about people that are public relations experts?
Oh.
Yeah.
Are they really, though?
Are they? I guess we'll tackle that here in just 1 second. We're talking with Sam the Cooking Guy. It's Franklin Barbecue Pits time, gang. So if you are in need of an elite offset cooker, you want to add one to the backyard, franklinbarbecuepits.com is the place to go. You can buy one right there if you want, and it's delivered to the bottom of your driveway where you can then cart it up to your garage or around the house or whatever. You don't have to put it together. You just have to unpack it, and you're ready to cook on it. Quarter-inch thick American-made steel. America, baby. Anything that sees heat is built to withstand it. It's not going to wick away. It's not going to be low tolerance, any of that crap. Now, as I've mentioned the last month or so, this is the time of the year when we're recruiting for new dealers. So if you're looking to open a barbecue supply store, or you already have one open, or you're living in the realm of both of those, and you're looking to bring in an elite pit to put on the floor, a silent salesman, if you will, then Franklin is the one you want to choose. You go to franklinbbqpit.com, you fill out the dealer form, then you're going to talk to Matt Gase. He's going to work a deal with you. And now, certified Franklin Barbecue Pit dealer. Get all the accessories to put up there for extra revenue streams. And you get this great pit. Do it now. franklinbbqpits.com. franklinbbqpits.com. And then if you are a consumer and you want to buy one, you can find a local dealer near you, if there's one near you. And you can also grab one online, get all the accessories, the cookbooks, all that stuff that Aaron's good for. High quality, the best quality, some would say. FranklinBBQPits.com. We're back with more Sam the Cooking Guy right after this. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Whole packers, full racks, legs and thighs, injecting butts. If you've never heard this before, you might think you found the best Triple X show ever. Let's get back to the most homoerotic host out there today, Craig Rempe.
Welcome back. This portion of the show being brought to you by JRE Tobacco, the makers of Aladino brand of cigars. Of course, everybody knows I love the Corojo Reserva line, but the Aladino Classic is great. The Aladino Sumatra, quickly becoming one of my favorite cigars of all time, believe it or not. So, if you would like to try a smoking experience that's second to none when we talk about hand-rolled premium cigars, you got to turn to the Aroa family at JRE Tobacco. Visit jretobacco.com to find a retailer near you. And if you already visit a retailer and they're not carrying JRE Tobacco lines like Aladino, tell them to get their shit together and get it in, for crying out loud. What are we waiting for? JRETobacco.com. And Sam the Cooking Guy is back after a short break. Sam, are you ready to become a Franklin Barbecue Pits dealer?
I would. If I had a store,
yeah,
there's no question I wouldn't have his pits. No question.
What about your dealings with PR
people? I look up to
people?
Him like I look up to Malcolm Reed. See what?
What are your thoughts on PR people in general? Mm. Public relations. This is what we're saying in case people don't know the tech terms.
Yeah, yeah. Oof. You know, I'm going to try and tread very lightly here.
Do you have a PR person?
Nope. Never had one.
Ever?
There's been moments I've thought about it. And I know a lot of people do. I'm going to guess that there's a lot of great PR people out there. But whenever I have interfaced with some company's PR people, I've walked away going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What's the point? And I don't know that I can say really what I want to say. I feel like people go into the PR business for all the right reasons. It's a fun business. Should be. Could be. Probably is. I think they get a lot of them out of college. They're young. I don't know that they know a whole lot. And yes, I'm old and I'm crusty and I feel like I know shit, but I'm going to give you an example. When I was doing stuff with Chosen Foods, Chosen Avocado Oil,
yeah,
who has a bunch of different mayos, right? And they were great. Like some kind of black garlic and this and harissa and blah, 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 all these things. So there was one of the TV stations wanted to do like a whole live thing at my house one morning. Chosen had hooked this up and they were going to come and they were going to do two hits, you know, one at 8 o'clock in the 8 o'clock hour, one in the 9 o'clock hour. And I'm on the phone with these people from this PR firm. We're talking about what I could make and, oh, hey, I got to look this up. Hold on. And we're having a conversation. I could make this. I could make this. I could make this. Wait, I got to get this one. Hold on, 206. Let me just show this picture. Because this
is your PR person, right? Just text in and say, show this picture?
No. I don't have a PR person.
I know.
So we're talking and we're talking about, they're like, oh, well, so what would you make, Sam? Then I go, I could do this. I could do this. I go, I got it. I just want, for sure, we're doing this. I go, I want to take a whole chicken. I want to rotisserie it, but I want to take the harissa mayo, rub it all on the outside.
Yeah.
Maybe a little salt. That's it. Just rub it and it's going to rotisserie and it's going to be great. So here's the recipe in my book for this is a garlic mayo chicken.
Like it.
Right? Out of the cookbook.
Good
right,
skin.
Right. Why can't I get this?
There you go. There you go.
Properly. There you go. Right?
Yep.
There's nothing but garlic and mayo, a little salt and pepper on the outside of that. And one of them goes like this. I think she was probably 22. When are you out of college? 20 what? What age?
Yeah, 22. 21.
Yeah. 22. 20. She might have been 21. She's tender, gentle age of 21 or something. She goes like this. I don't know that mayonnaise on a chicken is a good thing.
Oh.
I go, You're right. It's not a good thing. It's a fantastic thing. She goes, no, no, it probably is. But I think in the morning, we want some things that are more sort of dinner oriented and blah, blah, blah. And I said, do you want people looking at this going, oh, yeah, I can do that. I've done that before. What do you want, in a sandwich or something?
Yeah.
Or do you want somebody going, holy shit, I haven't thought about that. Let's do that. I don't know. That's the right move for us and stuff. And I left the conversation stunned, amazed. I wanted to say, listen, sweet girl, you just like take care of what you need to do. Let me worry about the food. I've got it.
You're the pro.
I've not gotten to where I am. I was nowhere then, probably. But I've not. I mean, listen, I cook for a living and you don't. Just worry about, you know, getting the fucking cameras there in the station. I'll take care of this. That has been my experience. They try and make themselves experts of every business that they get attached to, and they're not. I'm getting worked up about it right now. I'm not a fan. I've never had one. I'm not saying I'm never going to, but the foreseeable future, no way.
I should be 10 minutes in to a conversation with Andrew Zimmer at this very moment in time. But at 8 o'clock.
And by the way.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
At 8 o'clock.
Go ahead.
So let me give everybody the full story here. This is the second time that we've tried to get Andrew on the show, and it didn't work out. I was reached out to, this is months ago, well before the turn of the year. Andrew is, this is so-and-so from the this and this company. Andrew's doing a whatever season of his outdoor cooking show, and we think he'd be a great guest. And I'm like, I mean, I've seen bizarre food. Yeah. What?
These are Andrew Zimmern's PR people.
Yes.
Be clear about that.
I did. Yes, these are his PR people reaching out, not Andrew. Okay, it's good, the PR
good,
people.
Good.
And I said, hey, I know Bizarre Foods. I don't really watch a lot of the other stuff, but I'm not really a TV watcher anyway. But he's would be a good person to talk to. He seems to have an accomplished history. I could do a good interview with this guy easily. So I write back. Love to have him on. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Here are my requirements. Every guest needs to have a USB microphone. If he doesn't have one, I have a few spares I can send out if he doesn't mind sending it back. Or if he wants one, here's a link to the one that I would actually be sending him to borrow anyway. It's $70. Sounds like $1 million. And but the microphone is a requirement. It's a standard. And without it, we're not going to do it. So we set the first interview up.
What did they say? No problem? They go, no problem.
Nope.
No problem.
He's got plenty. So
yes, of course he does. He's a big deal.
So we're, you know, chatting back and forth. We get a first interview segment locked down. He ends up having to go out of town, or he's going to be on a plane or whatever. I don't know. So we rebook it. All communication is going through PR people. Never. Usually at some point I'll get handed off to the actual talent. And then I can have interaction, but evidently
he's too big,
I guess. So, I mean, I'm not trying to see whose dick is better or bigger here, but I think Michael Simon is probably bigger than Andrew Zimmer. No.
Completely agree.
I can pick
completely up. Agree.
I can text Michael Simon right now. I have his personal cell phone number. I go to his house in the Hamptons. I was handed off to him at some point. So, but not this guy. So then we're going to redo the segment for tonight. And
no reflection on Andrew Zimmern, though.
No, this is what I'm saying. Reflection so I'm building to that. So
I'm getting
we rebook it. Same shit again to the PR people. Yeah, it's good. Over the weekend, just want to make sure we're on track for a Tuesday 8 p.m. sound check. Make sure he's got the microphone. Yeah, he's got it. 2 hours, 6 o'clock. This evening, Easter, send another note out to the girl. Are we sure he's got the microphone? He's got the microphone, 8 p.m., looking forward to it. Okay. So
great.
At 8 p.m.,
can't wait.
Show up, he jumps on, might as well have been in the middle of a friggin' grocery store for all I know. It was loud and chaotic. And I wasn't going to ask about anything in that regard at that moment. He's like, hey, I said, hello. Is this our sound check then? Are we good? I said, show me the microphone, please. He's like, what microphone? And I said, I made it very clear in the communications with your PR ladies that this interview requires at least a USB microphone to ensure the sound standard that I've set for the show over the last number of years. And he said, that's the first I'm hearing about it. I'm like, are you kidding? He said, no. I was like, well, this is about right. Because I've been going back and forth with these two.
Because they're fucking PR people. Yeah.
And like,
get your shit together. God.
So I asked.
Sorry.
I asked
sorry,
this other sorry, guy sorry, sorry. Earlier today.
Unnecessary.
Let me pose a scenario for you, and you tell me what you think is true.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That these PR people told Andrew Zimmern, you got to have a microphone or you're not going to do it, and then he just decided not to be ready, or do you believe they actually didn't tell him about the microphone? The way he reacted to me saying, show me the mic, leads me to believe they never mentioned anything about having a microphone. So I replied back to the lady. I said, hey, it's 8:15. I've canceled the segment. He has no microphone. A. B. He has no idea he was supposed to have a microphone. So.
And what was the response?
No reply back at this point. We are now at 10:51 p.m. Eastern. So, Jesus again, no shade on Andrew.
No shade on it. You know, here's a good PR person. Andrew, your thing is with Greg on Tuesday night. Need a microphone. Do you have one? Yes or no? No, I don't know what you're talking about. I'll have one for you. Come to the house. Don't worry about it.
Right.
That's what they do. But they don't do that. You know why they don't do that?
Too much work.
Because they're fucking 20. No, it's not too much work. They're 20 and they don't understand, what the work world is, how to follow up, how to be on top of things, how to make sure that the person on the other side doesn't have to do anything. Oh.
But let me ask you this
don't
question.
Don't get me worked up.
I'm gonna start to take it in a different direction here.
Yeah.
Where do you think the guest places the value on how good they look and sound? Because I believe now more than ever that, especially in the podcast space, that unless you're showing up to a podcast studio that's outfitted with all the gear, if it's going to be a remote connection, however you're going to do it, I think by and large, if you're a nobody and you're on as a guest, you're in the dark. But if you're somebody of some accord, I think they think it's good enough. You got me.
It's gonna be,
however you're going to get me is how you're going
to
get me.
You know what? I don't want to assign that to Andrew Zimmern because I don't know him at all.
Here's why I'm going to challenge that immediately. He's been on television a billion times. He's got a production company. I mean, the guy obviously values properly produced stuff. Why wouldn't you care how you're going to be coming across? Aside from not getting the information about having a USB microphone, like, why wouldn't that just be part and parcel?
Please, can I say something?
Go ahead.
You know, I did this online live book signing last week. And apart from the technical difficulties that are fraught with fucking live streaming, whatever, doesn't matter. They said, here's what we're going to do. We want to come. It's a Walmart and this company is all good and we're going to shoot it. My question was, how many cameras? And they said, there'll be one person. I go, will it be on handheld or tripod? And they go, it'd be tripod. I said, all right, I want this to look as good as possible. I would like to have one of my guys come, Chance. So he could, when there's a close-up of food, you get a close-up of food. Because if the camera's on a tripod 8 feet away from me and I'm doing something here on the grill or on the counter, they really don't see it.
Right.
I know to ask these questions. I'm surprised. maybe I'm, am I surprised that Andrew didn't say I should have a good mic? It may be that I don't want to think that about him. I don't want to think that about anybody, but you and you, both you and I subscribe to the exact same theory about quality in sound and video and how important it is. And I've told you, I will not listen to, I don't know who you had an interview once, not too long ago, something happened and the guy didn't have a thing and I wouldn't listen. Hmm. I won't listen to those. They're that it's too much work to listen to a shitty sounding interview. I won't do it. I don't, wasn't probably you, somebody else, but I won't do it.
I think that the guests, for whatever reason, there hasn't been enough earnestness put on the guest to say, hey, especially for somebody that's going to be, and I know this is more true than not, because on the national talk shows that I listen to, I understand in a sports sense, things are breaking, you go to the phone, that's different. But if you're a beat reporter for ESPN, you're going to go on the Jim Rome show, you're going to go on Dan Patrick's a couple times a month to give your hot takes or whatever the fuck you're going to do. You can't connect through Zoom after all we've been through and not have a microphone and sound like you're in the studio, or give yourself the best chance of sounding like you're at least in the room somewhere with those hosts. But instead you use your microphone on the computer and you sound like you're in your toilet. But later in the day, you go to the ESPN studios and you get your mic put on and you sound like a million bucks.
Yeah, I agree. I don't get it. Listen, I'll shoot a little 30-second video about a new taco at Not Not, and I won't do it unless I have my proper Rode mic. I use, you know what Rode is? You know the Rode mics? I'm sorry.
What?
I won't do it unless I have my proper mic. If I get down there and the person shooting it with the iPhone, which is fine, looks great, says, ah, shit, I forgot my my mic. I go, I can't do it. Mm. I'm not going to do it.
How do you get the microphone to not scrape against your shirt when you shoot?
Chansey builds this little concoction. There's tape and there's these little buffer pads that hold the mic. That sort of, I have to send you a picture of it.
I'm dying to know.
So I don't know if I can do this representatively. Hold on. Let me get close. So imagine these, my fingers are, I can't do this. That's not going to work. I'll send you a picture of it.
Yeah.
But he's got these little, like pads.
Like the little butterfly
that stick
pads?
Out like, no, that stick out about a 16th. I don't know what's between a 16th and an eighth. A 12th of an inch. And then the microphone sits back. So if the shirt rubs, it rubs on the pads, not on the mic.
So the mic's under the pad and then it's adhered to your skin?
The mic is shielded by those pads that are more forward than the mic.
Yeah.
Oh. I used to work with a guy. I shot a lot of stuff with Qualcomm. It doesn't matter why. It's another life. This guy was the best sound guy I ever knew, Robert. He's a weird guy. Sound guys are odd. We'd walk into a hotel room, and I'd have to do some VOs for a bunch of stuff we just shot. And the second we walked into the room, he'd go like this. He's looking for echoes. And this guy could build a sound booth out of blankets, pillows off the couch, pillows off the bed, that would sound like you were in a $45,000 studio in mid-Manhattan. And he built this, he had this thing that he would do that was amazing. And when I, at some point in the 8-10 years ago, I reached out to him, I go, dude, we're doing the YouTube thing. I'd love to know, what is that? Fucker wouldn't tell me. Would not tell me.
That's a secret.
Come on.
That's what makes Dave Dave.
Wait, who's Dave?
Robert was his name?
Robert.
Dave? Robert,
yeah,
sorry.
Robert. Yeah. Robert, yeah. Yeah, I was like, what? Come on, man. What?
Hmm.
You're gonna share it? What is that, a corporate secret? You can't let people know what that is?
Maybe they say, so you got to bring in Robert the sound guy. He's the man, and that's the
we
thing that puts him over the hump.
We don't need a sound guy. I just want it to, I mean, come on.
Huh.
I'm not asking for his Cherry's Jubilee recipe that won him a Michelin award. And now I'm going to open a restaurant with the same recipe. Don't be an idiot.
Are you giving away 1,000 bottles of Kewpie mayo?
Yeah.
Thousand?
Thousand.
Wow.
They'll send it to you even. You don't even have to go pick it up in Tokyo.
Evidently,
send it to you.
Evidently, they fly over your house in a helicopter and drop them down.
God. I forgot to send you. I was going to send you pictures of the other QPs.
But there's other...
The QP that you...
I get the one that's...
You go to an Asian...
The red marking on it?
You go to an Asian supermarket.
Yeah.
Buy a bottle of Kewpie, plastic bag, you know, little Kewpie little babies baby on the front. That's a Japanese version. There's another version that they sell in Costco that does not have MSG in it. This is not the one. I mean, look.
I want MSG.
I'm a fan of Kewpie. They sponsored the video. I love them. But, and by the way, MSG is not problematic. Years ago, they thought it was, like they thought eggs were a problem. Eggs are not a problem. I love eggs. I eat at least probably 2 eggs every day.
Oh, I eat 6.
It's my breakfast. 6 every day?
Yes.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Love eggs.
Protein.
The eggs would be my final meal. Let's do that one day. Let me come on with the embedded correspondents and we'll do our final meal. Can we do that?
Do we do the questions first and then we do final meal?
Yes, of course.
You want to do it in April? Do you want to do it in March, at the end of March?
Sure.
All right. I already got a list of assurity questions going.
What's the date? So funny when people ask you what assurity means. I love that. And you got so pissed the last time.
Yeah, but I mean,
you went on off on like a 3-minute tangent.
3:26.
Rant. Yeah.
3:26.
Yeah.
I got one extra slot. How's the slot? I got one extra slot to drop you in. There's only one other person that's going to get that reference, by the way.
I don't need an extra slot. I just want to be in, sit in on.
No, I have one extra line. So usually it's three of the four lines taken. So we'll be able to use the big box. And
why do you have one extra one?
Whatever the streaming package that I have comes with 4 different call-in lines simultaneously. So I just use 3 with the other guys.
Cool. Yeah, I'd love to. I'd be honored. Let's make the last one final meal.
All right. We'll do the final meal as the question to lead us out, as they say, to lead us out. So
to lead us out.
What should I be making for dinner tomorrow night before I let you go?
I'm going to tell your viewers, your listeners, your podcasters,
audience,
go to The Cooking Guy on YouTube.
Yes.
Find the American chop suey recipe. You can think of it as beefaroni. You can think of it as macaroni with the ground beef and stuff. I'm telling you, it was a suggested by a viewer. It's one of the greatest things we've made.
Ever?
American chop suey. We ate it that day. We shot it and we were like, holy fuck.
What's normal chop suey? Isn't that a bunch of like vegetables and sprouts and shit?
Yes, yes, yes. It has nothing to do with chop suey. If there's any correlation, if there's any correlation, it's that chop suey was like leftover whatever you had stir fried and presented. Just go make it. I had a completely random woman come up to me 2 days ago and go, she looked at me and she went, I'm just going to say one thing to you. I go, what? She goes, super dramatic. And I was like, I was expecting you swear too much.
Yeah.
I don't like it when you do this. I don't like the slut bong thing, which by the way, we stopped years ago.
I don't like that the boys aren't mic'd up.
Yeah. Okay, no. She goes, the American chop suey. I go, and I'm like, okay, I'm bracing. Okay.
Yeah.
What is it? What is it going to be? Is it racist? Is it not? Is it offensive? What is it? She goes, the American chop suey. And then a long pause.
Yeah.
I don't even say, yeah. I'm just waiting. She goes, it's one of the greatest things we've ever made. I'm telling you, it is stupidly good.
Wow.
Go make that.
I'll make it. I'll make it on,
thank you.
I'll make it Friday, maybe? And
there's a bunch of recipes out there. I'm telling you, it makes a shit ton. Just, you know, you'll good. Like it.
All right.
And by the way, if you're a marijuana smoker, baby, are you going to love me? About 11 o'clock at night when you remember, if you can remember, it's in your fridge because the shit microwaves yep. back to life beautifully.
Wow. Well, I'm excited now.
Beautifully.
American yeah, Chop so Suey. Good. Don't get fooled by the name.
American Chop Suey.
All right.
AKA American Goulash. AKA stuff they gave kids in school that I'm pretty certain wasn't nearly as good as my version. My right. version is really good. Yeah, yeah.
We're going to do it. In the meantime, thecookingguy.com is the place to go for recipes and to link everywhere else. ShopSTCG.com for all the accoutrement that you would like to outfit your house and dressers and all that stuff with. And then don't forget.
By the way, pre-order a copy of this before next Tuesday.
Right.
It ends actually a Monday night at midnight, wherever you are. Not only will you get two video recipes that are not in the book,
oh.
you'll also be entered to win a complete set of Sam the Cooking Guy knives that wow. are
retail value $1,847 before shipping and handling.
Not true, actually.
That's not true.
No, I think it's about almost $900.
Wow. Well,
that's not that much. I'm not some
pretty good.
I'm not some Ponzi. I'm not a Ponzi bitch.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but I'm glad you're not a Ponzi bitch.
Sorry.
Can I make a shirt?
Ponzi is a Brit.
For that? I'm not what? A Ponzi bitch. I'm going to make a t-shirt.
Yeah. Ponzi is a British slang term for super fancy, you know, okay. upscale, that kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. Ponzi. I'm not a Ponzi bitch, mate. You know what I mean?
3.67 million folks as of March 2nd, 2024, subscribe to the Sam the Cooking Guy YouTube channel, if you can believe it. And you can find him on Instagram and all the other social media handles. Sam, always appreciate the monthly visit. And we'll see you in 3 weeks as we end up March. And then we'll see you again the following week as we start April. It's a lot of Sam all here all the time, and we love it.
By the way, you better send me an invite for the March thing because I will absolutely forget.
All right.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm forgetting as we're talking about it.
I'm going to send you it as soon as we're old. Done here tonight.
You're the best.
All right. See you,
love
Sam.
You, man.
Love you. Sam the Cooking Guy right there. TheCookingGuy.com is the website. And check him out on all the other social media handles. Last one to go before we call it an evening and we're a little bit over here. Listen up, gang. Our friends at Big Papa Smokers have something special just for you, listeners of the show. Whether you're a seasoned pitmaster or grilling newbie, Big Papa Smokers, your one-stop shop for all things barbecue. From their championship rubs, mouth-watering sauces, essential accessories. They've got what you need to take your food to the next level on both the competition circuit and in your own backyard. Here's the cherry on top. Big Papa Smokers are offering the listeners of the Barbecue Central Show an exclusive deal. Use promo code REMPE, R-E-M-P-E, at checkout. That's R-E-M-P-E. And you get $10 off your next $50 purchase of rubs and sauces and accessories. Or an amalgamation of all of those. Imagine the possibilities. Evaluate your ribs with Big Papa's Sweet Money Rub. Add Big Papa's Desert Gold to your chicken, or better yet, pick up Double Secret and put it on your steak. Head on over to BigPapaSmokers.com and start shopping today. Don't forget to use the promo code REMPE at checkout, R-E-M-P-E. Claim your $10 off your next order of $50 or more. Also, don't forget to check out Big Papa's full line of recipes at Cooking with Big Papa. And of course, follow them on social media platforms for all the amazing recipes that he's pumping out there. Sterling Ball and the gang over at Big Papa Smokers. We're back to wrap the show right after this. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show.
Let's get back to a guy who has more experience giving you his opinion than he actually has cooking. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
Hey, well, thanks, Sam, the cooking guy, for joining us for an extended segment or two. What's going on? Might be pulling my ear leads out of my ears here. Now keeps dropping out. Anyway, we thank Sam the Cooking Guy. TheCookingGuy.com is the website. Don't forget to pre-order the book, but as I look through all the instant chat, it looks like a number of you have already done that anyway, so we certainly appreciate that. And there was a website, it was like Kewpie Mayo Giveaway. If you go watch the latest Sam the Cooking Guy video, he's doing 10 different recipes with Kewpie Mayo. Some make sense, some are a little outside the box, but there's some website that they keep flashing. I think it was like KewpieMayoGiveaway.com, and you can try and get one of the free one of the free 1,000 Kewpie Mayo bottles that Kewpie Mayo gave. So try your hand at that. Why not get free stuff? We love free stuff. Also, we welcome, again, at the lead of the show, Schwenk Grills to the team here. SchwenkGrills.com and promo code BBQ Central for $150 off any Schwenk grill. All the way back in the first hour, Malcolm Reed started us out, and then Matt Osmond picked us up and carried us to the finish of that first interview segment. And then after him, it was Mike Lang from Another Pint Please. AnotherPintPlease.com, his website. Second hour, Sam the Cooking Guy, TheCookingGuy.com, his website. Follow him on social media as well. Big show planned for you next week. Meathead leading off, Robert Moss after him, and then making his triumphant return back to the Barbecue Central Show jungle, Chad Ward, if you can believe it. That's right. High-level executive over TraegerGrills.com, Chadley Von Ward, will be back in the Barbecue Central Show confines. He's got a new podcast coming out. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff the whole second hour. It's us catching up, sharing stories, telling lives. It's going to be a barn burner, to say the least. So how do I always leave you? September 11th, 2001. I will never forget. Until next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, this is your program host and proud U.S. American, and Greg Rempe, and good night now!
Yo, Pod! This is Meat Mitch, and you're listening to the Barbecue Central Show.